Good Monday. Today is July the 7th, and you're listening to My Farm. Well, late last week, the One Big Beautiful Bill was passed by both the House and the Senate and signed into law by President Donald Trump. We're going to take a look at everything contained in that bill as it pertains to agriculture with a recap from the National Cattlemen's Beef Association. We'll have the details after this message from our sponsor.
Sponsored by Seed Consultants, simply the best value in the seed industry. Learn more at seedconsultants.com.
Well, the One Big Beautiful Bill making agricultural headlines for a Monday morning. Hopefully everybody had an enjoyable 4th of July, Independence Day, a big day as the president signed the bill that was passed late last week by both the House and Senate. We're going to get some comments today from National Cattlemen's Beef Association Executive Director of Government Affairs, Kent Backus, as he tells us about some of the agricultural provisions in the bill.
The House of Representatives passed the One Big Beautiful Bill. They adopted the Senate's changes, and they did so with a vote of 218 to 214. Now the next step is this will go to President Trump for his signature and become law. This is a significant win for cattle producers all across the United States because it delivers certainty on a lot of expiring tax provisions that were making it very difficult to plan businesses and to plan transitions to the next generation. One of the key provisions in there is that this really does a lot to provide more certainty regarding the death tax. The death tax exemption is increased to $15 million per individual, $30 million per couple. That's adjusted for inflation annually, and it's made permanent. And I think that's a key provision because this isn't something that is set to expire in 4 or 5 years. This is permanent. And so that's going to make it a lot more predictable, easier to plan. Another key victory in this is that the step-up in basis remains untouched. And so that is also provides another level of certainty for our producers. We're also excited to see that the 199A small business deduction is made permanent at 20%. That Section 179 expensing is increased to $2.5 million. And that bonus depreciation has been restored to 100%. And that, too, has been made permanent. These are all very important tools for our producers. And having that certainty, having the expectation that they can plan around a tax policy that is not going to change in just a few years. That provides a lot more opportunity to take risk, to make investments, and to work with their families to transition to the next generation. So all of these are important. It's important for our family businesses all across the country. In addition to the tax package, there are also some important farm bill provisions that were included. We were glad to see that the Livestock Forage Disaster Program, that there were some updates that were made there, that Livestock Indemnity Program was also improved, and that, that there's conservation programs that are really some of the farm bill provisions, and the bill extends the mandatory funding for several of those conservation programs for the next 6 years. So there's $18.5 billion for EQIP, $8.1 billion for Conservation Stewardship Program, $4.1 billion for the Agricultural Conservation Easement Program, $2.7 billion for the Regional Conservation Partnership Program. All of those are some key things. And probably another very important piece to this puzzle is that the bill increases annual mandatory funding for animal disease prevention and management activities to $233 million. And that is that's budgeted through fiscal year 2030. So there's a lot of things that were included in this One Big Beautiful Bill. And now that that has passed the House, it goes on to the White House, where the president is set to sign that into law on Independence Day.
And again, those are the comments of Kent Backus. He is the NCBA's Executive Director of Government Affairs. Stay tuned. We'll be back with more after this message from our sponsor.
Williamson Crop Insurance, home of Decision Max. Decision Max allows you a simple solution to analyze your operation and make informed marketing and crop insurance decisions to mitigate your risks. Manage your whole operation in one place with the ability to blend counties, marketing, and insurance coverage to give a complete overview of your operation. Williamson Crop Insurance, protecting the Eastern Corn Belt since 1980. Learn more at cropcoverage.com.
Thanks, Joe. Well, changing directions, extreme heat nationwide means not just raised temperatures, but raised concerns about both crops and livestock conditions as well. USDA's Rod Bain has this report.
The first week of astrological summer 2025 came in with an unusual for several parts of the country extreme heat wave. triple-digit heat in several locales. And as USDA meteorologist Brad Rippey believes,
we're just getting started here, I think, with what is going to turn out to be a rather hot summer for the nation as a whole.
That's because of a weather phenomenon created when extreme heat becomes established in the country. And with consideration just how early such high temperatures were recorded in the season.
When you see early heat like this, it tends to move around, but does not ever really go away. And unfortunately, that's what we're looking at.
For instance, extreme heat in the eastern U.S. subsides after a multi-day period, only for such conditions to reemerge in regions like the west and central parts of the nation. And while heat may fluctuate to extreme temperatures, high humidity appears to remain constant. What do these current and projected weather trends mean regarding potential agricultural impacts? Rippey says for livestock,
sometimes they come with some expense to the cattle. They are not quite acclimated to the heat at this point. Some animals may still have a portion of their winter coat, and with that lack of cooling ability, that can create a very stressful situation.
Compounded by the extreme humidity and, in places, overnight low temperatures in the upper 70s and low 80s.
The nighttime cooling or lack thereof is creating quite a stressful situation for livestock, and we'll have to continue to monitor the animals as we move into July, as this heat wave looks like it will continue across many parts of the country.
For crops, corn and soybeans especially, they remain safe for now, as on average, they have not reached the reproductive stage of development, and in many parts of the Corn Belt, still have surplus topsoil moisture. However,
we'll continue to watch this heat as it becomes more potentially critical for corn and soybeans moving into July.
Pasture and rangeland conditions are divided as extreme heat continues into July. As of the USDA condition report for the period ending June 22nd, east of the Mississippi River with more favorable conditions, while drought impacts in several states west of the Mississippi drove poor condition ratings. And Rippey notes,
if you're looking for any intelligence on how ongoing heat and humidity are affecting rangeland and pastures, you'll have to wait a while. There's going to be a delay anyway on some of the impacts.
I'm Rod Bain reporting for the U.S. Department of Agriculture in Washington, D.C.
Thanks, Rod. That's what's making agricultural news on my farm. For my 102.7 WMYW, I'm Dusty Sonnenberg. You have a great day.